Children left, and then there were 12. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Well, Jade, when I'm opening like 3 notebooks, you know you're going to be here for a while. We've been learning Hebrew while you've been gone.
It runs in the family, but you should see the girls on Wednesday.
Yeah. I hear they're long-winded. Get it natural. So, I'm going to read, we're going to just read some scripture here in just a minute from a New Living Translation. I just want you to listen. We'll come to the passage, we'll get there, and you can open it up and look at it, but I just want you to listen as I kind of read for a minute or two from a passage in the New Testament. But this is what I want us to do. I want you to pretend that the Lord is coming and that we're here and Jesus is coming back. And so I know there's this discussion about the rapture or not a rapture, when the Lord comes back, and there's this whole theology of this thing, right? And so, and I still say I'm like 50-50 on that. And there's good discussion around that. But let's just pretend that you and I are here and the Lord comes back. And so whatever that looks like, we are living through what the Bible describes, and Jesus actually comes. Jesus is there. He is coming back, and you and I are here to see it. What will Jesus look like the next time we see him, if that's the case? If that's the case, if we are here and he comes, what will we see? What will we see? What will your Jesus, my Jesus, what will we see? And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them. Even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us, don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly and will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2. The next time we see Jesus, if we're here and he comes, flaming fire, thousands of angels, that there will be a person kind of leading this planet in a rebellion, the word is apostasy, which means they will be turning away from God, just turning away from God, turning away from God, turning away from God. This person leading the planet will be just turning people away from God. We know this has never happened. It didn't happen in 70 AD with Rome. It wasn't Adolf Hitler. Because this person will be killed when Jesus comes. He will speak it, and by his appearing, this lawless person will die. He will kill him. Jesus himself will speak and come, and the person will die, and that's never happened. So this is yet to come. This lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness that's already at work. This person will lead a lawless turning away from God. Says the coming of this lawless one is by the activity of Satan. Never think Satan is not alive and working on our planet. It's in secret, it's a mystery, but it's going to be revealed, and only at that time. There is a specific time when the restrainer will just step aside and let all hell break loose in lawlessness, in turning away from God. He will be deceptive. He will have power. He will deceive those, it says, who refuse to love the truth. To love the truth, God's word. Just refuse to love it. Cherish it, understand what it is. And then the crazy thing, I guess, that when this lawless person is kind of uncovered, for whatever time that is. I know some think it's a 3.5 year period. At that point, not only will he deceive a lot of people, God will give a spirit of deception that those who have not believed to that point cannot believe. The door is closed at that point. Therefore, God sends them strong delusions so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in their unrighteousness. Verse 11 and 12. Not only will this lawless person be persuasive and powerful, then God closes the door. They've had their chance to believe and love and embrace the truth of God's word. And now it's time. Now there's time. This time has come. The law has been broken. The law has been discarded. We have walked away from God. And God closes the door for all who have not surrendered and loved his truth. It's over. It's over. So next time Jesus comes, it's what it'll look like. I couldn't help but think about this man of lawlessness. He himself puts himself above any god, any object of worship. Man becomes God. And there's lawlessness. There's no law. There's no law. And I couldn't help but think, it seems like some places in our country there's no law. I couldn't help but think when was the last time in America there was actually like rioting and burning and lawlessness, and the government authorities actually stepped back and said, yeah, go ahead. Don't police, stay home. Go ahead. There was total lawlessness, really. It really is. I mean, there's been riots and protests in our nation before. I mean, that's nothing new anywhere. But for the United States to the politicians to order the police, the authorities to just step back and go, matter of fact, I may just join you tomorrow. Lawlessness. Lawlessness. It says it's already at work. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and there's something, someone now restraining it, holding it back. But it's begun to appear even in our country. I'm not one that thinks the United States is the crown jewel of prophecy or anything like that. It's come to roost here in America. Lawlessness is beginning to rise in our country, even as we speak. Man becomes God. Man rules. This man rules. There are men of lawlessness, men and women and youth of lawlessness running around right now. And I would say for us, it's concerning United States of America, we are certainly have been pushing God and throwing God out. We've been turning away. There's been a great apostasy, a rebellion, so to speak, in America as we continue to push God away and not love his truth, not love his truth. I don't know if you guys have been on the news watching the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett. Is that right? Amy Comey Barrett. So this is great for us because if you keep reading about her, she's from Notre Dame area over here. She's a domer, so to speak. And so I was reading an article about some of this radical beliefs of hers, this radical woman. And so they're talking about her, and they go, St. Joe County, Indiana. I'm going, South Bend? Radical? And they were talking about this radical thing she signed with the St. Joe County Right to Life organization. This radical organization, St. Joe County Right to Life. And I'm going, what? What are we talking about here? We have become radical here in the Midwest, in the Corn Belt. We are foreign to them of lawlessness, where man is God. We are strange. Don't think the secret of lawlessness is not already at work, even in our country. More important to me than any of that is when the church does it. When the church pushes away God. When the church doesn't love God's truth and God's people, God's house. When the church becomes their own God. When the church says, yeah, I know, but, I got one. But I got life. When the church does that, is there any hope for them? When the church doesn't love and devour this and say, I'm your servant, glorious. Glorious are you. I'm your servant. Teach me. Show me. Give me understanding so I can serve you, my Lord. I want to love your truth. Believe your truth. Obey the gospel. Obey the gospel. If the church pushes God away, the cultural door is wide open for the man of lawlessness. There is no law. There is no law. Psalm 119. Verse 121. Now you probably know this. Psalm 119:121 is this 8-verse section based on this Hebrew letter ayin. It's pronounced ayin. And as you would guess, the base meaning of this letter ayin right here, this base is to see. To see. And then, as you can tell in this passage, there is this serve. So this passage is written primarily with the idea that we see and we serve as servants. We see and serve. And so this letter here, Ayin, the rabbis say that it represents the two eyes. If you're looking down at your head, your left eye and your right eye, and those optic nerves that come back and they join here back in the chiasma, and then it runs and actually tells your brain, your mind, what you see. These are just lenses here. These are lenses that we see, but the information goes back to the chiasma and they join, and we're able to process and live what we have seen through these lenses. Psalm 119, 121. I have done what is just and right. Don't leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. Verse 123 is really the cornerstone. It's the gem here of what we're talking about. My eyes, Ayin, long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise, Messiah. My eyes long for that day. I'm looking for, my eyes are weary, they are failing. I'm looking and looking. I'm looking for your salvation. I'm looking for your deliverance and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I might know your testimonies. In verse 126, a key verse, it is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Yep. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. There's nothing, nothing, nothing is valuable. Nothing I love like your word. Therefore, I consider all your precepts are right, and I hate every false way. That was so similar to what we read in 2 Thessalonians. When I read this, I thought, man, he is looking for him to come back. He is waiting for that day. It's prophetic. Did you know the Psalms are prophetic? There's prophecy. Did you know they're mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament? They're prophetic. The Psalms are prophetic. And so when he says, my eyes long for your salvation, I'm sure he had something in mind there, but it is prophetic. My eyes, I am just looking for that day. I am looking for him. I'm looking for the fulfillment of your righteous promise to Abraham. We are children of the promise. It's time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. The lawless man is on the scene, and we are throwing out your laws. We are throwing out remembrance of you. We are throwing you out so fast. Even the St. Joe County Right to Life organization is radical in this country's eyes. But this one who believes, the one who believes, the one who is waiting and watching, and three times he says, I'm your servant, I'm your servant, I'm your servant, give me understanding. Teach me your word. I'm your servant. I want to serve you. Deal with me according to your mercy and love. Deal with me. Teach me. I love your commandments. More than money, more than gold. There is nothing. Nothing like the word from heaven, the word Jesus brought down, John chapter 3. The Word of God that He brought to earth and taught us how to live, what to look for, how to process what we see, that it comes in and is processed correctly and glorifies God as we serve Him. There is only one way, and that is to love the commandments, to serve Him according to His Word. What a beautiful psalm. 2 Thessalonians kind of echoes that. Chapter 2, verse 13. He gives this just sobering picture of Jesus coming back in flaming fire, killing this lawless person, leading this planet away from God into a lawless existence. This person being God, man becoming God himself as we are. He gives us this sobering picture of God closing the door. No more. You've not loved my word. You've not walked in my word. You've not served me according to my word. Door closes. You can hear it slam shut. And then he says, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord. Because God chose you as the first fruits, the beginning, the first of those to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Into this He called you through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by spoken word or by our letter. Did you catch that? You were saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth through the gospel. Why is there like three parts to that? I thought you just kind of believed this story and you're saved. Why is there like this through the gospel? What is all that? Well, let's go backwards. You were saved and called through the gospel. You heard the gospel and you said, "Hey, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you heard the gospel. You're a sinner, can't save yourself, can't. So Jesus died on the cross. His blood is the payment for your sins, and He rose to new life. And if you believe in Him, you will rise to a new life. Your sin will be forgiven, washed away, cleansed. You can have new life." Very simple gospel. When you believe that, if you believe that with your heart, if you surrender, if you obey the gospel, it says, Jesus said it throughout the New Testament, they said, obey the gospel. Not just believe, but obey it. Then you repented of your sins. You got on your knees of your heart and you confessed yourself as a sinner. And you surrendered to Him. I want to be your servant. I want to serve you. The gospel is being a servant. I'm obeying it. I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to obey your word. I love your word. I'm going to obey the gospel. And when we saw ourselves as totally broken in obedience to the gospel, We believed the truth. And it just soaked in like a water in a dry sponge, man. It just went in. And He sent the Holy Spirit in. And He set us apart from all the lawlessness, from my desire to be God of my life, from my desire to be God on the throne of my life. He set me apart from all that lawlessness. He set me apart from all that. He set me apart to serve Him. He set me apart clean, forgiven, washed, now here to serve Him, able to see and serve Him. The gospel just initiated that. The gospel was the first thing that had to happen. Someone had to tell me the gospel. I had to drink it. I had to let it absorb. I had to give myself to it in belief of it. And He gave me the Spirit to do the rest, to see and serve Him. And in doing so, when He comes, you and I will obtain, listen to this, you and I will obtain the glory of Jesus Christ with Him. When He comes back on that day in flaming fire, taking vengeance on everyone who has been God of their life, who has pushed Him away, in their lawlessness, loving their life more than Him, we will, the saints who have believed, will obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will be glorified with Him. So then, brothers and sisters, so then, stand firm. What a great word for today. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm. What are we going to do with all this chaos going on? We're going to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm and hold to the traditions, this, that you were taught, we learned, we are learners, because we love His Word, so we learn His Word. Either by spoken word, they were spoken to, or by our letter, which we now have. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God our Father, who loved us, listen, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, may He comfort your heart and establish them. Establish your heart. Comfort our heart and establish our heart. Root our heart. Ground our heart in every good work and word. Everything our faith prompts us to do, He said in chapter 1, may He ground our hearts with comfort and in the truth of His Word, in the love of His Word. Stand firm in what He taught. Establish them in every good work, in every good word, everything we say. Therefore, I love Your commandments, O Lord. I love Your word more than gold. There is nothing, nothing, nothing as valuable as Your word. My Lord, I am Your servant. Teach me. Teach me. Give me understanding. The next time we see Jesus, the next time we see Jesus, what might that look like for you? Are your eyes getting tired or failing? Your eyes are just, you just keep looking. I'm just looking. I'm seeing. I'm looking and looking and looking for you while I serve you. My eyes are just focused. When I see you, oh my goodness. When I see your salvation, when I see your promise being fulfilled, my eyes just can't wait to see that. While I wait, I love your truth more than gold. Or I rule my life. I have one of those somewhere. I don't read it much because I'm in charge of my life. I often believe what's false. I don't know what's true, so I often kind of go with the lawless trends. I don't know that I'd say that's more important to me than money or gold or even my family. I don't know. The door will be closed someday. God will close the door. Told the church in Ephesus in Revelation, if you don't turn back to your first love, I will put your light out. I will close the door. And I beg you, if you don't love the Word of God, to fall in love with the Word of God. I'm begging you. I am begging you. You don't know the truth. You are susceptible. You are vulnerable to follow the secret of lawlessness that's now already at work. How has our country, a Christian nation, pushed God out so far as it has, and at the same time saying, we are a Christian nation because we've been deceived? You're seeing it with your own eyes. You are watching it with your own eyes happen. You're watching a Christian industry make money like there's no tomorrow. You're watching the popularity of the Christian industry. You are watching churches with TV channels and radios while our country pushes out God and His truth. You're watching it in front of your face, the deception to claim we are a Christian country while we shove Him away. And how did we get to this day in America where these two presidential candidates and lawlessness running our streets wild and the police staying home? How did we get here? Deception. Those that don't love the truth are ripe for deception. You'll never take your Jesus t-shirt off. You'll never throw your favorite Christian CD music away. But you will be deceived. And you will follow the lawlessness if you don't love love His truth. Get in the Word. You'll never know what's false until you do. And you are ripe. You are ripe for deception. Jesus, didn't we cast out demons and do lots of things in Your name? Get away from me, I never knew You. We are ripe for the man of lawlessness who's already working. It's already working. The United States has never known the lawlessness we're seeing today. You're ripe if you don't get in His Word and follow it and love it and obey the gospel. Obey the gospel. Surrender to it if you haven't. If you have never thrown your life on the altar of Jesus and given your life to Jesus, you're good soil. The seed comes in and you grow fruit. You're good soil. You're His servant. It's His Word that you obey. If you've never given yourself to the gospel, you've never repented and obeyed the gospel, do so. Do it. And then you believe and you trust and you walk in it because He gives you His Spirit that totally changes you from the inside out. Amen. Totally changes you from the inside out. You can't do it. You can try. You can do it for a short time. But His Spirit will make you wholly new. He'll set you apart, sanctify you for His service. And you will receive the glory of Jesus Christ someday. When others raise their fist in defiance, you will be glorified with your Savior, Jesus Christ. On that day, when He comes in flaming fire with countless angels, speaking the Word and the lawless man dies, coming to rule with the righteousness and the justice and the equity we so want. We're so thirsty for that. It's coming. It's coming. Don't wait too long. The door does close. The door does close. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. You've given us clear, precise teaching. I know for many of us, Lord, our eyes long to see You. We long to see Your coming. We long to see Your justice and Your righteousness. We long to see Your deliverance from this chaos. Until then, my eyes see You in Your Word. I love Your Word. I hear Your voice. I see You move in Your Word. Lord, I love Your Word. Thank You for it. Thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.